Hi, this is Dean Jacobs from Tarani Motors. We are so thrilled to be sponsoring Sand Hill Stories on KVSH Radio. We think this will be a special program inspiring to both young and old. After the program, give me a call at 402-376-1661 or come see me if you're looking for a new or used vehicle. And now, here is today's edition of Sand Hill Stories.
Welcome back to Sand Hill Stories. Today is day two of visiting with Lou Nollett of Nenzel. We sat down in the beautiful new venue built by Niobrara Valley Vineyards just south of Nenzel. Father Lou is definitely a Cherry County treasure. If you missed part one, all Sand Hill Stories are archived at kvsh.com. Okay, so we've talked a lot about your service. We've talked about your impact with me, your health journey, and now you're out here. It's like you have another full-time job working with Greg and Tim at this amazing new venture that they've started. And have you enjoyed that process? The grapes and the people and...
It's a family thing, so we just like to, you know, help and support one another. I mean, I guess if they've supported me and try in turn to support them too, you know. So it's one way we can do it. And there too, you know, it's just, you know, a presence speaks more than just, you know, just being there. You just never know for sure, you know, who you're going to meet or who comes and so forth. So just, you know, come and... You know, we just try to be hospitable and welcoming and, you know, to try to, you know, set, you know, this place apart from other places, you know, so. And I guess, you know, I mean, those first 2 years I was here, you know, after Greg had retired and I was there. So I was helping Greg, you know, quite a bit, you know, so I'm just now kind of, you know, glad that we have, you know, Reed Ford that's, you know, helping do some things. So I...
Yeah, so you've been here from the beginning, basically.
Well, yeah, this project, yeah.
Yes. So. And can you just really fast kind of tell us, there's the grapes that you drive by when you come in. Are there any other grapes on Nollett property?
No, we just have that. The current vineyard is 4 acres, and so no, that is all the grapes that we have. But we do buy a lot of grapes from many of the other vineyards, you know, within the state of Nebraska.
And what sets the Nebraska grapes apart from other regions? Or do you buy grapes from anywhere? Or
no, we focus on Nebraska grapes because in order for it to be called Nebraska wine, you know, the large percentage has to come, you know, from Nebraska itself. So that's why we do that. And well, then, yeah, we can drive far enough to get the grapes within Nebraska. We don't need to go beyond the borders, I guess. The grapes that we grow and the varieties, we call them, you know, the North American hybrids, you know, or French, you know, yeah, well, there's some French in there too, but I mean, they're, you know, they're for this climate. So, you know, like the wines that we make, you know, we can't make the same kind of wines that, you know, the California vineyards are able to make. You know, but just because of our climate and the variety of grapes that we have chosen to plant and grow.
Well, I think you guys have it figured out because I have some friends that went to California, did a wine tasting, brought back what they said was some very good wine. And I personally I've never liked wine at all. And I was like, oh, I just couldn't even drink the whole glass of it. But I really do appreciate the Nollett wine. I think it's softer, I want to say, not so bitter, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't have an advanced palate. I don't know how to describe it, but it's easier for a beginner, I think.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Our wines then are from, you know, sweet to, you know, to the dry, you know, maybe not as dry as a Cabernet Sauvignon, but, you know, I mean, our Marquette Petit Pearl, St. Croix, they work on that. I, you know, in terms of, you know, all of the intricacies of that winemaking, I, you know, I'm not the one to really comment.
Roughly, because you're not Greg or Tim, but approximately how many pounds of grapes do these 4 acres produce, would you guess, approximately?
We would hope that they would, you know, in a good year, you know, if everything's just right, there's no hail damage or anything that, you know, if each vine produced between 14 to 16 pounds of grapes, you know, that would be ideal.
Wow.
So, you know, that's what we like to achieve, but we don't, you know, depending on the year and all the factors and so forth, that's, I guess you take what you get, but you know, as my brother used to say when he was in one of his parishes, you know, they're harvesting corn, you know, you can always hope until the last round, you know, so we can always hope until harvest, you know.
Right.
So anyway, it's, yeah, so I mean, I think there's about 50, you know, 50 plants in a row. So, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, 16 times 50, it's,
okay,
you know, and then times 36, because that's how many rows we have. Well, a couple of rows may not be in production yet, but 34 rows anyway.
I'm going to have to, at a later time, do that math. Okay, now walk us through the process. So I know that you have local people come out and pick grapes. What, approximately what time is that? What time of year is the grape picking?
Usually we start, it's the first Saturday after Labor Day weekend. So then basically then we pick, you know, all of the Fridays or all of the Saturdays of September, you know, maybe into October, depending on the year and how the grapes are turning and maturing. Once the grapes are picked, you know, then they are immediately, we take them, you know, to be processed, you know, so that's why we start early in the morning and, you know, we work until they're all processed.
I can't believe the machines they have over in that building. I've had a couple tours, but just walk us through what happens.
Well, once the grapes come in, we put them in a hopper, and then they, you know, from that hopper, then they go through the crusher destemmer. You know, that crusher crushes the grapes, and then the stems go out, you know, there, and then if it's the white grapes, they have to be pressed first because we just, in the white grapes, ferment the juice only. You know, so that's a little more, you know, because each of our press loads probably takes us almost an hour. Maybe not quite, but we figure almost an hour. So if, and we can maybe do, you know, a little over 1,000 pounds at a time, you know, if we're doing 10,000, you know, pounds, you know, it's, yeah, the day is long. The red grapes, we you know, you pump the skins and the grapes and the seeds and everything in because you need the skins to give the color, the red color to the wine. You know, so then after that has been fermented, you know, in the week to 10 days or maybe 2 weeks, depending, you know, then we press, you know, then the skins and the seeds will be cast away.
So after that process is done, what's the next step?
Well, with the red grapes, I mean, it's, you know, once it's, the fermenting, you know, takes place early on, and then it's just more what we call racking, you know, so we basically, you know, there's sediment that continues to drop to the bottom of the tank. We just continue to pump off the good and, you know, take out the, you know, the dregs, you know, that settles to the bottom. You know, we rack in the course of the production of the wine at least 3 times. You know, some of the reds, depending, especially like Rancher's Red, St. Croix, you know, that's oaked, so that takes a while, you know, and then it's, then we filter, you know, so that, you know, once the wine gets in the bottle, it is, you know, it's clear. Well, some of the red wines, then they do, you know, it's called a malolactic, you know, fermentation, and so, you know, as you were talking about that wine kind of be smoother and, you know, more desirable to the palate, it just kind of helps, you'll soften some of the harshness of that. That's about, I know. And then as we bottle, then the wine is filtered again as it comes into the bottle. So that's what I know. I mean, there's probably other details and some things that I am missing in the process.
That's okay. This is just an overview because I don't know anything about, I just know it looks amazing, like the tall stainless steel equipment. And
oh, yeah, that's the 500-gallon tanks.
Yes. I didn't know how much it held. But
well, that's how much it held. Yeah, yeah, they may not all have 500 gallons, but. Mm-hmm.
Taking you back to when you helped Greg just get this started, would you have ever thought after everything you just described, white and red and 500-gallon stainless steel tank and a new venue? I mean, are you surprised?
Well, I guess I am. But, you know, my brother Greg, he's the one that likes to take the risks and, you know, trust, I guess.
That's neat. That's neat that you've been here with him on the journey.
With so many choices in vehicles, finding the perfect match can be daunting. But at Tarani Motors, located in Valentine, Nebraska, we've got you covered. From rugged trucks like the Ford F-350 to sporty cars like the Ford Mustang and spacious minivans such as the Chrysler Pacifica, there's something for everyone. Plus, our high-quality pre-owned selection offers affordability with upfront pricing. Why wait? Discover your next ride at Tarani Motors today.
So what about, before we end our visit, you know, I'm looking out this window and I see a circle, and we talked about that you went to grade school in Ninzel. So obviously in your lifetime, you've seen so many changes in the area. But how would you sum up? Do you think we're making progress? Do you think we're not making progress? How would you sum up what you've seen in this area in your lifetime?
Oh, I think we're making progress. I mean, I think what I gained from, you know, my brothers and, you know, my nephews, you know, being involved with cattle. So I think, you know, like the genetics have improved, or, you know, at least within, you know, the herd that Tim and his sons have. I know that, you know, they're constantly working on improving the genetics there. You know, so I think in that regard, you know, things have you know, changed. I suppose I've certainly seen, you know, like when I was in high school, my summer work was in the hay field. You know, I mean, that's when we had sweeps and you had the big, you know, 24-foot rake, and then you had the scatter rake, and, you know, you had somebody in the stack, and, you know, it's, you know, someone pulling the loads up to fill the, you know, the stack, and, you know, like that. And since the symbol for my ordination was the windmill, you know, in the verse from John 4, you know, 13 to 14, you know, I mean, there too, you know, the windmills are becoming less and less as there is the pipelines that feed the tanks, or, you know, they're, you know, solar powered. I'm sure some people would say the old days are better, but, you know, I mean, you, as things advance, I mean, I suppose one of the, you know, the gifts of technology is that we can do a lot of things, you know, from our remote area that maybe weren't possible before. So I think, yeah, I think progress has been made. I suppose, you know, there would be those that say, you know, the good old days are still better, but you live with the times.
And the good old days, you had to be pretty tough.
The winter's test, even these days, you know, at what, 23, when we had our 100 plus inches or whatever, there was a spirit of perseverance there too, you know, because
yes,
of the wind and the cold and the amount of snow, and, you know, it, in that snow was packed, and it was, you know, I mean, it was dense. I mean, you just...
Speaking of the challenges of nature, I've heard about the Ninzel tornado. I don't remember the year, but that was devastating.
Yeah, 1962. I was in the seventh grade. They were in the process of just building the current, you know, St. Mary's Church. A lot of the town was damaged. I mean, like the storefront of, well, I mean, what used to be the general store and post office, that was, you know, all out. You know, like Nick and Julie Cares, you know, their house, I mean, their second story was almost gone. You know, where my brother Tim lives, you know, like Hattie Stosh was living there, that house was lifted entirely off its foundation, and it was basically a brand new house. And
what about the church? Was it, you said they were working on the construction, was it damaged?
Well, no, it wasn't damaged because they had not, the current church was just, they had just maybe like the foundations poured or that. But the old wood frame church that was up on, as they moved it off where it was, you know, it was up on railroad ties, and it basically made a journey from here to Kilgore.
I remember something about the church. That's why I asked
that question. Yeah, so the wood frame church was, you know, the tornado, the people were finding artifacts, you know, from the church, basically from Ninzel to Kilgore.
Okay. And were you home that when the tornado
hit?
Yeah,
we were just in the process of eating our evening meal, and all of a sudden there was just this dead still, and I don't know if we began to hear that roar, but, you know, I know Dad said, you know, we go to the basement immediately. And it was a dirt cellar is all we had, but that's where we went, you know.
Did you have to go outside to get to the cellar?
No, it was down. You know, there was a door and stairs within the house, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of trees are down, and I mean, the cleanup was, you know, it took a lot of weeks to get that done. A lot of houses and everything had to be reshingled. And
this has been very enjoyable and educational, and it's just really nice to sit across from you because you are an inspiration. I know I'm not the only one you've inspired, and so I'm glad that you shared part of your journey on Sand Hill Stories and more people can hear it.
Thank you.
Once again, this is Dean from Tarani Motors. We hope you enjoyed today's edition of Sand Hill Stories. I invite you to stop by Tarani Motors for your next service or your next vehicle. Tune in again next week for the next edition of Sand Hill Stories.